You pray for me, okay? I hope you remember last week, we talked about being citizens of an unseen kingdom, amen? How do we get that entrance into that kingdom? By the blood of Jesus. There's no other way. And I'm praying today that maybe something that we could say today would maybe encourage and maybe light somebody on fire. I know the Word of God has the ability to do that. Not man's opinions, but God's Word can light us on fire. If we'll take that Word and hold to it and believe it and cling to it and obey it, I believe God can do great things in anybody, regardless of their background, regardless of their shortcomings or their habits or their ups and downs, their history, their past, no matter what it is, I believe God can do great things with anybody. I believe the Word of God has the power to change us. Amen. And so this week I want to begin by just asking you a question. And what I want you to do is take a minute to really consider the question and to really think about the answer, okay? So here's the question. Do you have the relationship with God that you want? Do you have what you want of God? Now, what I want you to think about in that question is it's a personal thing that you have to reflect on. I don't want you to answer that for someone else. I don't want you to group yourself in a group of people and say, as a church, you know, we're so blessed, or as a family or whatever. I want you to think personally, do you have the relationship with God that you want? The question is about you individually, your life, your desires for you as an individual person. Do you have the relationship with God that you want? Is it all? Do you have all that you want? Do you want more? Is there a longing in anybody's heart this morning for more of the presence of God in their life, for a deeper relationship with God, a closer walk with God? If there is, if there's any that hungers and thirsts after God and more of God's presence in their life, then I'm hopeful this morning that this message would inspire you. I hope somebody can hear this message and their soul would become refreshed, because I think many people have been troubled and maybe even unsettled recently. And I think there's a lot of people that deep down inside of them, there's a desire to know God more fully, to be in His presence daily, and to have that presence to become more real in our lives and to be closer to God. I believe that there are some people today who still want that. I don't think there's many. But I think there is some. I also know this, if you're here and you have all of God you want, you'll leave with what you came with. Amen. I certainly won't subtract anything from you today. You can come in, and anytime we come in to hear the Word of God, we can listen, whether it's right here in this church or whether you're online listening this morning, doesn't make a difference. You can listen with dull ears and a cold heart and be unchanged. I preach lots of sermons that haven't done people good. Amen. Not because the Word wasn't good, but because their heart didn't want it. Amen. Right? And there ain't a thing I can do about that. If that's your mentality this morning, you can leave having checked all the religious boxes of Sunday morning obligation that you go through, and you'll have what you had when you came. And maybe that's what you want. But if you want more of God, I believe that God delights in revealing Himself and making Himself known to us. I believe that Scripture testifies of a God who is willing to make Himself known. He is willing to be present with us. Amen. Not in just some weird like sense where we think, oh well, I know God is out there. I'm talking about real presence of God in your life. Where you feel His presence, where you know He's near, where you hear His voice. Christ said, "My sheep hear My voice." Amen. I believe we have a God who wants us to hear His voice. Amen. Who wants us to feel Him close. Even in His greatness and all of His holiness, God, throughout the history of ages, you can read in the scripture, He's walked with people, He's talked with people all down through the ages. He's visited man. He's let them experience His presence at different times. And for those that have trusted in Him by faith and walked by faith, He has lovingly revealed Himself to them over and over and over again. Listen, let me say it different. If we're not careful, we're going to spend a lifetime reading the stories of men and women that walked in the presence of God and that sought God with all their heart and loved God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we're going to know their names and we're going to know their stories, but we will not have experienced what they experienced. And if all you want to know is the stories of other people, if that's good enough, then you can have that. But why settle for that when you can have your own story? Why settle for less than to let God do in you what He's done in others all down through the ages? See, you can read about Abraham, for instance. I thought about him. You can read how the Bible says that Abraham was the friend of God. And Abraham sat at the door of his tent. And God came, and listen, in a different form, but nonetheless God came and visited with him. You can read about that. You can read about how the Bible declares that Moses, that the Lord spoke to Moses as a man speaks to his friend. You can read all about those during years past and all the saints that went down through the ages that have known God and walked with God. You can read their biographies and their books, and many of us have. We can post their quotes on Facebook and we can say, wow, these people, they knew God. God was present in their life. God really used them. They had something special with God. We can talk about those things, but what about us? What about us this morning? What about our relationship with God? What about the presence of God being real in our lives? Not vicariously through somebody else who knew God, but us knowing God. Amen. Martin Lloyd-Jones, he said one time, never has the church had so many methods and so little power. And I believe that. We've got little gadgety things that we do for everything. We've got little traditions that some are not little traditions. Some are biblically and to be held and to be carried, but some aren't. And we think that through our programming and through human design and through hard effort and human work that we're going to be able to do the work of God when all we need is the power of God, and God will do the work. I told you all that because I hope you're in Isaiah by now, Isaiah 64, because Isaiah was living in a day when Israel was sort of in a backslidden condition. I liken it very much to the way that we're living in today, the church age that we're in now. They had lost their fire for God. They had become divided and distracted, and the prophet that did know God, Isaiah, that God had revealed Himself to, and the one that had been in the presence of God, he cried out to God, and Isaiah 64 is his prayer to God. And I want to look at the first 8 verses of that with you this morning. It says, oh, this is what Isaiah wanted from God. Oh, that you would rend the heavens, that you would come down. Do you want God to come down in your life? That the mountains might shake at your presence, as fire burns brushwood, as fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, that the nations may tremble at your presence. We talk all the time, oh, our nation needs to turn back to God. Turn back to God. Turn back to God. Are you praying for the presence of God to come down? To shake the mountains? To boil the waters? to make God's name known amongst the adversaries. Listen to verse 3. When you did awesome things for which we did not look, you came down. The mountain shook at your presence. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, nor has the eye seen any God besides you, who acts for the one who waits for him. You meet him who rejoices and does righteousness, who remembers you in your ways. You are indeed angry, for we have sinned. In these ways we continue, and we need to be saved. But we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are like filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. And there is no one who calls on your name, who stirs himself up to take hold of you. For you have hidden your face from us and have consumed us because of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay. You are our potter. And all we are, and all we are the work of your hand. Amen. Look at verse 7 again. And there is no one who calls on your name, who stirs himself up to take hold of you. Is that our testimony, church? Is there none among us who will call on the name of the Lord? None who will stir themselves up to take hold of God? I pray that that's never the case for our church or for any church that's standing on the Word of God. But by the grace of God, I pray that the Spirit of the Lord will give us a desire to take hold of God as we call out on the name of the Lord. We need to stir ourselves up. We need to be stirred up and revived. If you're waiting on someone to come along and revive you, forget about it. Forget about it. If you're waiting on the perfect sermon, there ain't no perfect man that's going to be able to preach a perfect sermon. If you're waiting on the perfect song or the perfect church service or the perfect day of fellowship and all these, listen, forget about it. You want to get stirred up in God? You want to get revived in God? You've got to get after it for yourself. Amen. Is there no one who stirs himself up? Who's stirring him up? He himself stirs him up. I believe the scripture there tells us exactly what we must do. Look in verse 4. You'll see the first step. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, nor has the eye seen any God besides you, listen, who acts for the one who waits for him. If you want to be in the presence of God, if you want to be closer to God, if you want more of God, you're going to have to wait upon the Lord. You say, but you're telling me to act and to wait. You got to be careful, or you're going to allow yourself to have a wrong understanding of what it means to wait upon the Lord. Waiting on the Lord doesn't mean sitting around and doing nothing. Just hoping that maybe one day God decides to come and visit with you. That's not what it means to wait upon the Lord. Biblical waiting on the Lord is not this inactive form of laziness where we just wait on the Lord to do everything and we lay down and don't do anything. Biblical waiting, it's a discipline. It's putting our faith into action. It's believing even when it's hard to believe. It's fulfilling God's word and doing what God said we ought to do even when we don't see any blessings from it. You understand that? To wait upon the Lord doesn't mean you wait for Him to do. It means you do and wait until God decides to bless you for what you did. Right? It doesn't mean the blessing always comes right at the moment you think it ought to, or as soon as you do the right thing. Sometimes I think we get this idea as Christian people that if we do the right thing, you know, maybe we go to somebody and we say, oh, you know, will you forgive me for this thing? Maybe they're mad at us and we say, will you forgive me? And we expect right away that they're just going to forgive and the blessing's going to be there. It doesn't work like that. You go and you ask for forgiveness and you mean it sincerely. And even if they don't forgive, you just wait upon the Lord. God will work it out in their heart. You ain't got to go back and try to fix it some more or do something. Just wait on God. God will now, you did your part, God will do His part. Amen? Always guaranteed. It's being able to trust that what God has said, He will do. It's trusting in the promises of a God that is faithful. It's obedience, even when we don't see God moving the way we expected. It's maybe a picture will help. It's Paul sitting in a prison cell, bound and chained, writing epistles about the joy of the Lord and the goodness of God. That's waiting upon the Lord. That's just trusting that even though the situation I'm in right now doesn't seem exactly the way I wanted it to seem, I'm confident I'll keep serving God. I'll wait upon God. And when God wants to move, He'll move. Amen? It's Paul and Silas there singing hymns after getting beat on at the midnight hour. They didn't know if God was going to come. They didn't sing because they knew that singing would... Today we'll make a sermon out of it. I'm guilty. I've done it too. We'll make a sermon out of it. We'll say, oh, see right here? If you just praise the Lord, the chains will break. Well, sometimes you praise the Lord and the chains don't break. Amen. You just got to wait. And when God decides to break the chains will break. Wait upon the Lord. It's the best picture is Christ carrying a cross in agony to Calvary's hill, knowing of what was coming next, but for the joy that was set before Him. He endured the cross. Amen. Just waiting upon the Lord. Yeah. Just waiting. That's biblical waiting. It's just trusting in the goodness and the faithfulness of God as you try to seek and obey Him. Amen? Amen? Even when the results don't happen immediately, it's perseverance, it's grit, it's determination. It's being willing to push hard and not give up even when things look bleak, even when it seems like the things or that you wanted aren't going to happen. You keep pushing ahead and trusting God. Amen. You keep obeying God. Yes, sir. I'm going to tell you this morning, if you want to be continually filled with the Spirit of God and you want to experience His presence on a daily basis and you want to be close to God, you're going to have to be a seeker of God. You're going to have to study God's Word. You're going to have to know it. And you're going to have to persist in prayer. I've had this on my mind all week long. This thought of the urgency to speak to you for a moment on prayer. There are 7 words that you need to hear this morning. We need to all hear. I need to hear. You have not because you ask not. Amen. 7 words. Honestly, when is the last time you went and asked for God's presence to be more real in your life? I'm not talking about a few minutes before you fall asleep. I'm talking about seeking God in prayer. I'm talking about pouring yourself out. I'm talking about you sacrificed some time and some fun and entertainment to seek God's presence and power. I'm talking about you missed the fishing trip for prayer. I'm talking about you didn't watch the game. I'm talking about you missed the last episode of your TV show that you like so much. I'm talking about you gave up. I'm talking about you went into the closet and shut the door. Or you climbed up to the top of that mountain and stayed for a few hours and sought God. No anymore. We think that God just better move when we tell Him to. I don't want a God that does what I tell Him to do. I make a mess out of everything. I want a God that I have to seek after. And that I have to put a little effort into knowing if I want to get close to Him. Listen, Jeremiah 29 verses 12 and 13. He said, "Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." You want to know why we lack power today? Because we don't do it with all of our heart anymore. We do it with a half heart. We put a little effort into it, but we're really busy, God. We're really busy. We've got a lot going on. I've got all these side projects. I've got all these things that I've got to do. I've got all this stuff going on. And you can tell me all day long. You can say, "Preacher, well, we've got to live, friend. We do a lot of stuff that we don't have to do." We prioritize things that don't need to be prioritized where they are. And we neglect seeking the Lord. Matthew chapter 6, verse 6, Jesus said this. He said, "But you, when you pray, go into your room. And when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who's in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." Amen. Get in that room at your house and shut the door and pour yourself out to God and ask Him to fill you. Ask Him to come to fill that room with His presence, but more importantly, to fill your heart with His presence. Labor in prayer in there. Wait upon the Lord and be steadfast. Pray without ceasing. Pray like you've never prayed before. Ask God. And if the enemy should come, and he will. And when he comes and he shows up and he begins to try to hinder, you fight the good fight of faith and you refocus. And every time your mind wanders off somewhere, you just get back down and you say, "God, forgive me for wandering," and go right back at it again. There ain't a one of us. No matter, you can pick the spiritual giant that you want to pick. And you know what? When he went to prayer sometimes, his mind wandered in the wrong direction. It wasn't easy. But you still must do it. You fight that fight. Don't go at it half-hearted. When you get tired, and you will, and your eyes begin to get heavy and begin to close, get up on your feet and go splash some water on your face. Take a cold shower. Get back after it. Pray. Set a clock. Do whatever you got to do. But go after God in prayer. You say, "Well, I just don't have at my house. It's always too noisy." Okay, then go to the woods. Well, I don't really want to go in the woods. Well, go to your car. Go somewhere where you can be alone with the Father and you can commune with God. Where you can listen. You say, "Well, Bill, when I do that, I listen, I can walk through this for a year, but when I do that, Bill, I just don't hear anything." Okay, then wait upon the Lord. You just keep praying and asking God, and you just keep seeking and searching for God, and you just keep asking of God to fill you and to show you and to reveal Himself to you, and you wait. And one day He will. At the right time, He will. Now, listen to me. Before you go to the Lord in prayer, there's a couple of things I want to encourage you to do. I told you it's been on my heart to talk about prayer just a little bit. The first thing, before you go to seek God in prayer that way, you need to resolve any conflicts you have with people. Mark chapter 11, verse 25 says, "And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him. That your Father in heaven, as you're praying, right, will also forgive you your trespasses." Amen? No, people don't like that scripture. Deep down in your heart this morning, some of you don't like that scripture. You don't like that the thought of having to forgive people. You know what it didn't say? It didn't say if they ask forgiveness. It didn't say if they deserve forgiveness, forgive them. That scripture is teaching us that if you're holding anything against anyone, you are to forgive them whether they ask for forgiveness or not. Whether they deserve it or not. That's hard. But nobody promised you'd be easy, amen? If you've been coming to this church, you ain't heard it's going to be easy. I tell you all the time, it's a narrow way. It's a hard way. Now, let me take that a step further. Let me go a little farther here with prayer. Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 and 24. This is worship, and I think it translates into prayer. If I'm wrong, I'm sure somebody will correct me. "Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come offer your gift." Okay. So, the first scripture said, if you've got anything against anybody, forgive them. Now, this scripture says, if you know somebody's got something against you, go get it worked out. Amen? It works both ways. Listen, let me say this to you. I'm speaking from personal experience here. You can't make somebody forgive you. But you can say you're sorry. You can ask. You can seek to be reconciled to somebody who's upset with you. And if they don't forgive you, it's on them. But you have to do your part. You say, "Well, if they're upset with me, I don't care. I didn't do nothing." Care. Matthew 5, 23, 24. Care. If somebody's upset with you, get fixed. Do your best to fix it. If they won't forgive you, okay. You did what you could do. You see how important relationships are with one another? They can hinder our prayer life. Our relationship with our spouses can hinder our prayer life. In 1 Peter chapter 3, we're told, "Wives, submit to your husbands, and husbands, give honor to your wives, that your prayers may not be hindered." Did you know that? That our relationships with our brothers and sisters in Christ, with our spouses, can hinder our prayers. So just resolve any known conflicts. Get them out of the way. Second thing I want you to do before you get in that room and pray, which I pray that somebody will, is fill your mind with the greatness of God, the faithfulness of God. Listen, this is important because you need to be confident in the God to whom you're praying. If you went back and read Isaiah 63, you would see that's what he did before he prayed. He talked about all the good things that God had done, the steadfast love of God. So before you begin to pray, begin to recall his goodness and his power and his love and his mercy and all the works that he's done for you in your life, and let your heart get encouraged that the God you pray to cares for you and wants to do good things for you. Wants to fill you. Wants to reveal himself to you. Do you know that God wants to reveal himself to you? He wants to. Count your blessings. Remember your answered prayers. Remove any doubt that's in your heart that this God will hear you. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15 says, "This is the confidence that we can have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us." You say, "Well, how do I know if what I'm asking is in His will?" If you're asking for His presence to know Him greater,
That's His will, trust me. Because He says so in the Scripture.
And we know that if He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we've asked of Him. He will grant them. Amen? You do those two things and you begin to pray and wait upon the Lord, and the promise is there. Isaiah chapter 40, a great promise to cling to, verses 28 through 31. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, He increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. Young men shall utterly fall, but those that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Amen? Run what? Well, run the race that's set before us as believers. Walk how? Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Let's look at the next thing He says in Isaiah chapter 64. Look at verse 5. You meet Him who rejoices and does righteousness, who remembers you in your ways. You are indeed angry, for we have sinned, and in these ways we continue, and we need to be saved. He meets Him who rejoices and does righteousness and remembers all of His ways. You know what this one does? This one leaves us in big trouble. Big trouble. And Isaiah understood that. He knew it. He said, you'll meet the righteous, but we've sinned. We are sinners and we continue to sin. Did you see what He said there? He said, for we have sinned and in these ways we continue. And we need to be saved. He goes on to say, we are like an unclean thing, and that all of our righteousnesses are like filthy rags. And He says, just like the wind blows and takes the leaf from the tree, our iniquities have taken us away from the presence of God. And He acknowledges that they cannot save themselves, but they're in need of a Savior. This is why many people today, many theologians will say Isaiah is another gospel. They'll call it the fifth gospel. Because there's so much in Isaiah about the Savior and the need to be saved from sin. Listen, if you want to be in the presence of God, you and I, we also have to acknowledge our sinfulness. Amen? We've got to acknowledge our sinfulness and our need for the Savior. See, Isaiah had been given glimpses of this Savior. He saw the pre-incarnate Christ sitting on His throne back in Isaiah 6. I don't have it on the screen. But he said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. He saw Christ high and lifted up, and the train of His robe filled the temple. He saw a glimpse of the Savior. He saw a vision of the suffering Messiah dying for the sins of the world. In Isaiah 53, you can read that chapter and see that He almost perfectly, I mean, it is perfect, but it matches the crucifixion of Christ word for word. And He saw that. God revealed that to Him. He showed Him that. And back there in Isaiah 6, when He saw Him on His throne, do you know what Isaiah said? He didn't say, oh, I'm blessed, I've seen the Lord. He said, woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in a nation of people full of unclean lips. In Isaiah 53, when he got the vision of the suffering Savior, he saw that all the things that we were going to, that he was going to go through, this is what he said. He said, all we like sheep have gone astray. Each one has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Amen? You see, Isaiah was a prophet that saw the truth about himself. He saw the truth about mankind, that every person has sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen? The best people you know in this world, the finest people that you've ever met, are sinners. Sinners. That's all we could ever be on our own. But Isaiah also saw a glimpse that a Savior was coming. And friend, I stand here this morning, and every Sunday that I stand, no matter what I preach on, I stand to tell you and to declare to you that that Savior that Isaiah got a glimpse of, He has come. He has come. Salvation has come. Salvation has a name. His name is Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of the living God. The Bible said that He was in the world and the world was made through Him, but the world did not know Him. But God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. And He has declared that he who hears His word and believes in Him who sent Him has been given everlasting life and will not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. Why? Because in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. And now, thanks be to God, we have access by one Spirit to the Father, no longer separated from one another. Amen? What I'm telling you this morning, friend, is that the separation is over. That because of the finished work of Jesus Christ, we have peace with God. That Romans chapter 5 verse 1 says, therefore, having been justified, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We no longer abide under the wrath of God, but we are partakers of the grace of God. The righteousness, He said, He meets the righteous. Isaiah 64 said, He meets the righteous. Well, let me show you something. In Philippians chapter 3, Paul said this, what things were gained to me, those I have counted lost for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. Now listen, verse 9. And found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Well, we got the truth right there in front of us this morning. He says He meets the righteous, and because of the righteousness of Christ and through faith in Him, He'll meet you. See, Isaiah had to declare and say, you meet the righteous, but we're sinners. We have to declare and say, we of ourselves, of our own works, of our own goodness, we are not righteous. There's none good, no, not one. All sinners this morning, all of us today. But the righteousness of Christ is applied to those who have believed and been born again, and that righteousness will allow God to meet with us. Back in the day, the veil was hung up in the temple, and so that they could not go into the presence of God. But when Christ was crucified, the veil was torn from top to bottom, because we have access to the presence of God today through Christ. Amen? Because of Christ, we can abide in the presence of God. Not sometime in the future, not a coming day. Right now, today, if you seek the Lord, the Scripture says you'll find Him. If you seek Him with your whole heart. That's right. Maybe somebody's watching this morning online. Maybe somebody's in here that doesn't know the Lord. And I want you to know today is the day of salvation. Today, if you hear God's voice, harden not your heart. Listen to me. This world has nothing to offer you. Nothing that can compare to the joy of the presence of God, to a right relationship with God. Psalm 16:11 says, "You show me the path of life, and in your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." Amen? Pleasures forevermore, fullness of joy. All that is found in His presence. I know today that it seems like this world has so much to offer, but it's all passing away. But in the presence of God, He says there's pleasures forevermore. Those are eternal pleasures. Amen? Eternal pleasures that you can have today. If you'll get in the presence of God. See, I don't want anything less for any of you today than that you would experience the real presence of God. That you would have friendship with God. That it wouldn't be, I know somebody who read a book about somebody that talked about somebody that once walked with God. But that your children would say about you, you walked with God. That your grandchildren could declare that you were a man of God or a woman of God. You can have that. That's not some lofty thinking. As a matter of fact, I think that's exactly what God expected for all of us when He saved us. Not just some old religion with rules and all these things. But this overwhelming joy and love for a Savior that's redeemed us from the curse of sin. That we would hear His voice and feel His presence. And that we would know, that's what Paul prayed for them. He said, I would pray that you would know the height and the depth and the breadth and the width and the fullness of all the love that God has for you. I pray that for you. If you're listening this morning and you are lost, just bear with me for one more moment. Because the life that you've been living, I lived once. That's a life of sin and self. And you may be a good person, and you know, by the world standards, you may have you may be kind-hearted, you may be nice, you may be sweet to people, you may give anybody the shirt off your back, be a great family person, all these things, just good-hearted, good-natured, all the things that we like to say about people. But you're still rejecting the truth. Still rejecting the truth. Still living for the world's temporary pleasures, only to find over and over again that they don't last. Moses was in that same boat. He was in the same boat many years ago. He was the son of Pharaoh. Not the blood son, but the adopted son. Pharaoh's daughter took him as her own. And he grew up as a prince of Egypt. He had everything the world could offer, all the gold, all the riches, all the things that anybody would want. He had everything. But the day came that Moses had to make a choice. The Bible says he went out one day and he saw one of the Egyptians beating a Hebrew. And he was enraged, because you know what he knew? He was a Hebrew.
He was forced with a choice that day. Now let me just tell you the choice he made. In Hebrews chapter 11, he said this: by faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. I wonder if we would have made that choice. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than all the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward, the real reward. Would we have made that choice? Think about that this morning. He had everything at his fingertips that the world could offer. And so today, if you're listening and you're lost, I would just say, choose rather to suffer the affliction with God's people. Yeah. Choose Christ. Yeah. Choose Christ. Rather than enjoying the passing pleasures of sin that won't last, choose Christ and enjoy the greater riches, the greater reward, fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. It's the best way. It's the only way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father unless they come through Him. And so if you're asking yourself by chance this morning, you say, what must I do to be saved? Listen, choose Him, repent, and believe the truth. Repent of sin. Believe the gospel. Be born again through the blood of Jesus Christ. Confess your sins to God. Acknowledge your sinfulness and your need for a Savior and be saved. Acts chapter 3 verse 19 says, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Amen. You talk about a time of refreshing. Listen, if you're a born again believer and people don't see you as loving and happy and joyful in the Lord, you're part of the problem today. When our sins were blotted out, God took the burden that weighed us down. Amen? And so today we're free, and those that Christ has set free are free indeed. We've been set free from sin, and now our time of refreshing has come from the presence of the Lord, and that He may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all His holy prophets since the world began. Amen. Now listen, maybe there's some listening today and you say, oh, I'm so glad this was a message to the lost. It wasn't just to the lost. For those that are saved that felt like their relationship with God is diminishing, you feel distant and out of the will of God and out of the presence of God, and you're struggling, I want you to begin to take some time and prepare your heart. And then I want you to go into your closet and pray. I felt like that's what the Lord would have me to tell you this morning. That you should seek the Lord while He may be found. That you should give Him your heart and your time and your affection and your attention. And that His time with Him is more important than time with your TV. That time with Him is more important than catching up on the latest gossip and news. That time with Him is more important than many of the things that we're putting before Him and in front of Him. And if you're satisfied with just 5 minutes, get dissatisfied with it. Turn 5 minutes into 50 minutes. Get in the presence of God. Labor there. We're living in dark days. We need people in our churches that's been in the presence of God. We don't need more calloused and half-hearted people. We need people that come down from the mountain with God and their face shines so bright we have to put a veil over it. We need people that know Christ and that declare Christ and that give anything in this world up, like Paul said, and count it all as
worth nothing in comparison to knowing Him. That's the kind of people we need. We need people who's willing to give their life for the cause of Christ. Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. You have not, because you ask not. He told Moses in Exodus chapter 33, verse 14, last scripture I'll read to you. He said, "My presence will go with you, and I'll give you rest." I want that for you. I want that for me. I want that for all of our church family, for everybody that's listening online, for everybody that's here, for everybody that will hear this message, hopefully years down the road. If we'll seek Him first, His presence will go with us. He'll give us rest. Those who hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. Amen? Amen. Let's stand to our feet. I don't know anybody's heart, anybody's condition. I'd ask that you would bow your heads for a moment and begin to answer that first question I ask you. As you reflect personally, don't answer it for someone else. You as an individual, do you have the relationship with God that you want? Do you have what you want? If there's anyone in here this morning who wants more, you should begin to pray. This altar is open to you if you want it. If there's any in here that's lost, any, you can come and let Christ wash your sins away. If your relationship with God is not where you want it to be, then remember the words of Isaiah. There's no one who calls on your name who stirs himself up to take hold of you. Begin to call upon the name of the Lord and stir yourself up this morning. Stir yourself up. You want revival? Get it. I can't give it to you. Don't have it in me to give to you. It comes from the presence of God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, God, as we bow before you, God, we're reminded this morning of what we read there in the scriptures, God, that if we have an ought against any person, God, that we should lay that aside and forgive. And God, I certainly, any hard feelings I have that I'm not even aware of towards any person, God, I forgive them. Any wrong that's been done to me, God, lay it not to the charge of any person. I don't care, God. I want to be like Christ when He said, "Father, forgive them. They don't even know what they do." Don't let me hold a grudge. Don't let me have any bitterness in my heart, God. Lord, and if there be any person who has anything against me, God, I believe with all my heart that I've laid those things aside. I've asked for forgiveness from those that I know. If there be any others, God, reveal them to me that I might seek reconciliation with them as well, Father. But as I come to you this morning in prayer, God, my desire is that your presence would be felt more in my life. Is that, God, that I would put you where you belong as the King. God, I pray that you would help us this morning, God. That you would draw us closer to you and that you would draw closer to us, God. Lord, not because of our righteousness, because I'm in agreement with Isaiah this morning, God, that anything that I've done, God, it's as filthy rags. God, it's not through our righteousness, God, that we have any ability to stand before you this morning, God. It's because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ, God, and it's in His name that we pray to you today, Father. It's His blood that we ask God to wash over us, God, and to cleanse us, God. And it's His righteousness that we pray you see when you look upon us, God. Lord, we want to come into your presence and feel you, God. We want to hear your voice. We want to know you in deeper ways, God. We want to be used by you for your kingdom's purpose, God. We want to be vessels fit for use, God. Show us, God, how to live for you and how to stop living for ourselves. God, the sins that beset us, God, show us how to do away with them, Father. And help us, God, to walk in newness of life, God, and to walk in the Spirit and not to fulfill the lust of the flesh, God. Lord, I pray this morning, God, that every person who's praying with us right now, God, whether here or whether they're at home or in their cars or wherever they might be this morning, God, that they also would be filled. You said we have not because we ask not. This morning we ask, God, that you would fill our lives with your presence, God. Fill our hearts with your presence. Fill our homes with your presence, God. Fill our church with your presence, Lord. God, may we be overwhelmed at your goodness and love. And may our hearts be revived to work for you, God, to love you, to serve you, to tell others about you, God, to do everything we can to spread this gospel and to share this truth with a world that needs it now more than ever. God, we thank you and we love you and we praise you, God. Bless each person, God, today that has prayed this prayer, God, I pray. Answer it in accordance to your will. We love you. We'll wait upon you, God. We will seek you. And we know, God, that if we don't give up, we will find you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, I love you this morning. I thank God for you. Thank you for coming today. I pray that you be blessed. If you need anything, let me know. God bless you. Have a good day.